We're continuing the church advantage, where the church is an advantage for there we go. Oh, man, you guys need to wake up a little bit. The church is advantage for church is advantage for and the church is advantage for the world. Others, whichever one would fit in there just fine. So in that, our January series is talking about what does God say to the church about money. I mean, the church has got a great advantage here. Money is something that we all deal with on a day-to-day basis. We're handling money, we're balancing budgets, we're looking at what to spend, what restaurant to eat at, you know, is it a McDonald's day or is it Olive Garden day, you know. And we're all working with money, trying to figure out how to pay bills or how to take care of a plumber that has to come out on a Saturday because your basement gets kind of a quarter inch of water around there, so that wasn't fun yesterday. So we're all dealing with money, and so the church has an advantage because we have wisdom from God's word on how to handle money, how to deal with money, how to think about money. Last week we kicked the series off by talking about that priorities define money management. Our priorities will dictate how we are going to manage our fixed resources, money being one of those fixed resources. Our priorities are based on a value system. We talked about this, that any kind of fixed resource, money or time or your talents, gifts, any kind of fixed resource, you're going to manage, you're going to schedule, you're going to work with that based on priorities. And those priorities aren't just mentally driven, they're emotionally driven, because our priorities come out of a core value set that we have. Our core values will determine our priorities, and our priorities will determine how we schedule or how we manage our fixed resources. And so we talked about that last week, and that we talked about the biblical concept and the principle or the practice of the tithe and of giving God our first fruits, and how these two concepts, when they're practiced, they help to keep our priorities intact when it comes to how we manage our money. So today we're going to be talking about how generosity and investments add value to the dollar. And then next week we're going to be talking about how God's establishments are made to run on the generosity of the whole. And then the last week we're going to be talking about how good financial habits have to start somewhere. Now, on the last Sunday of this series, we're going to review some of the key points of all of the rest of the messages through the series. And then we're going to evaluate our giving habits together. And we're going to either create some new giving habits for 2014, or we're going to commit to continuing our giving habits that we've had in the past as we continue into 2014. I want us to really lean in on all of these, really engage every Sunday. This series is really built. Each message can be kind of standalone. I try to do that because you never know who's going to be here, who's not going to be here on a Sunday. But this series especially really builds on each of the messages. So if you miss a message, please go online and listen to it. Get caught back up, because when we get to that final Sunday, we're going to be taking all of that. And when we get to the commitment Sunday and what we're going to be doing on that Sunday, we're going to take into consideration everything that we've been talking about. And I'm not asking any of these 3 weeks for anyone to change any habits, to make any changes. I mean, if God convicts you of something and you want to change early, then that's fine. But we're not going to be pushing for that. What I want these first 3 weeks in the series, I want us to digest and process and really chew on what God's word says about money and how that's affecting us before we go in, jump into making any kind of changes or making any kind of financial commitments. I want us to really chew on that. And so in doing that, we've got two things. One, each Sunday is going to bring a whole new barrage of information. Some of it's going to be review for you. Some of it might be new. And that's just going to be bringing to surface some thoughts that we need to have about money that are biblically based. So every Sunday we're going to be hitting that. In between the Sundays, I'm giving assignments to keep things fresh so that you guys can chew on it more, so that you can be into it, so you can review what happened the past Sunday and also be prepared for what's happening the next Sunday. So last week, I gave you guys some assignments to go on and review over the passages that we talked about last week, talking about the tithe and the first fruits and different things there. How many of you guys spent some time giving to God? Awesome. Okay, was that just two? two hands from the same family. You raised them right. So, two sisters looking at each other. One of them raised their hand and one of them didn't. So I got some sibling rivalry going on there. So how many, I guess I'll go on out on a limb for this one. How many of you guys read Matthew 25 through 27 yesterday? Ah, there we go. A few more hands. I will give you guys all I can give you guys on a Sunday morning. I pour myself into every message. These messages are not going to have the impact they could have if you're not in God's Word. I don't know how we can expect as a church to grow and move forward if all you're getting is what someone's bringing on a Sunday morning from the stage here or what someone's bringing from a Sunday morning in your classroom. We have to be engaged, church. I'm giving you tools. I'm giving you scripture. I'm trying to make this as easy as I can for you to engage God on this subject. I can't make you do it. I'm going to step off my soapbox, but that soapbox needed to be stepped on. So let's continue on. Today we're talking about investments and generosity, how they add value to the dollar. And I'm really excited about this. This is going to be a pretty simple message. It's going to stay pretty surface level. I want us to go on and look at this. We're not going to write this down yet. I'm reserving this note for a couple weeks from now, but I want you to see it early. And that is that correctly managing our fixed resources will have kingdom results. I want you to think about that just for a moment. Correctly managing our fixed resources will have kingdom results. Do you guys believe that? Yes, absolutely. I want us to think about that as we start to engage this morning's subject. Today is going to be like skipping rocks in a creek. How many guys here? Well, I mean, there are some girls here too that did that growing up. You know, we live in, there we go. More hands raised for skipping rocks than reading God's word. Okay, I'll get off the soapbox. Sorry. But we know that subject. We know the idea. Skipping a rock. That's what today is going to be like. It's going to be like skipping rocks. I've got six major sections, and I've got about 3 minutes for each section. We'll see how good I do on that. And so my goal here today is not some big, deep, profound thought where you leave the room scratching your head. Some Sunday mornings, that's the goal, but that's not the case today. Today, my goal is to highlight multiple biblically-based truths about investments and generosity and how the two of those work together. And that's going to add focus into our month as a whole. And I just want today just to be just a psh, 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 just a barrage. So it's kind of semi-automatic this morning. If I can use a gun reference there. So stick with me. We're going to be moving quickly. Matthew 25 through 27 is jam-packed with stories about investments and generosity. First story, 10 virgins, planning margin. This story is about 10 virgins. It's a spiritual illustration or a parable used to illustrate the need to be prepared for the second coming of Christ. Some were prepared and others weren't. The story is about 10 virgins who were waiting for the bridegroom. Five of them brought extra oil for their lamps and the other five did not. The bridegroom took a little extra time to get there. And in that time frame, the five virgins who did not prepare, they needed oil. And so they asked the five who did prepare if they could have some of their oil. And they basically said, poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. And so, now Jesus was not promoting selfish behavior on these five virgins that had prepared. This parable is clearly about one point, and it's about being prepared or not being prepared, about planning or not planning. So the five poor planning virgins run to town to get some more oil. And while they're gone, the bridegroom comes and he invites the five planners into his wedding banquet and then they shut the doors. So then the five poor planning virgins return to find that they can't get into the party. They can't get into the banquet. Now, as I said, this story is about making it into the kingdom. Some plan and prepare for the long wait for the second coming of Christ. Others don't, and therefore they don't make it in. That's the big goal of this parable that Jesus was telling it for. Let's back up a little bit. What I want to do is I want to just look at the parable for face value. Just the simplicity of what the parable's talking about on the face value. Not the deep, profound, parable that Jesus was talking about, but just these five virgins and these five virgins. See, it not only tells a profound truth about the kingdom, but the principle plans for the unknown. Many of you know this. Many of us can use a refresher on this from time to time. Margin plans for the unknown. Look at this story. The five virgins who prepared, they had what? They had oil. They had margin. Yes. They had margin. They prepared a little extra, so they had margin. Margin plans for the unknown. Many of us live with no financial margin in our lives. And then when something unknown or unexpected comes up, we're in trouble because we wish we had prepared better. We wish we had planned better. Because, and let's go and write this down, only the prepared participate in the party. So let's say that out loud. Say it out loud. Only the prepared participate in the party. Boy, isn't that the truth? Only the prepared participate in the party. In times when you have had margin and then you needed it, you were very happy you had margin. And you were prepared, so you got to party. You got to celebrate. It might not have been great that the car was broken down, but it was nice that you had a $500 set aside where $300 could be used for repairs and you didn't have to sweat it. You could get the car in, get it back out. When you didn't have margin, though, it hurt. So let's reflect on this real quick. How valuable was the worth of the prepared oil? Today we're talking about the value of the dollar. And I tell you, in different situations, the value of the dollar changes. And that's what we're wanting to highlight this morning. How that value changes. How does this increase the value of the dollar? I mean, the oil was probably about the same price for the five that planned and for the five that ran to town to get more. But the value of the money spent on the oil for the first set of virgins, the five that prepared, the value of that oil was worth a lot, wasn't it? Even though the dollar amount may have been very similar, the value of preparing, the dollars, the value of those dollars, I mean, it made the difference between making the party or missing the party. So the investment side of setting aside money, of forming a margin in your bank account, forming a margin in your budget, that adds value to the dollar. I want us to be reminded of that this morning. Because those dollars in the margin of your budget, they have a great value when the unexpected comes up. So learn from the virgins and build some margin for the unknown. So as we keep trucking through chapter 25, Jesus shares another parable about the kingdom. This time using the illustration of money and investments, so this should translate very easily into a sermon on money. So in this next story, it's about the talents, which the new NIV, so there's a new version of the New International Version. So it's still called NIV, but I think it should be called the NNIV because it's the new International Version. They don't use the word talents, and this is one of the areas I really like this idea. They use bags of gold. So they make it very, very modern, very understandable to a modern reader. But for those of us who are familiar with the old version, the talents, the parable of the talents, investing in the future is what this one talks about. So a man was going on a journey and he called his servants in and entrusted some money to them. To one servant, he gave over $5,000, which was the equivalent of a talent was about $1,000, a little more than $1,000. So to one servant, he gave over $5,000. To another, he gave over $2,000. And to a third servant, he gave just over $1,000. Now, the ones who received the $5,000, the ones who received the $2,000, they put his money to work and they doubled their amounts. $5,000 above $10,000, from $2,000 to above $4,000. The one who was given $1,000 or above $1,000, we're told that he went off, he dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. So when the master returned, he was very happy to see the one who had taken the 5,000 and doubled it, and the one who had taken 2,000 and doubled it. But he was very upset when he saw that the one who had 1,000 didn't do anything with it. He calls him a wicked, lazy servant. Those are strong words. He tells him in verse 27, "Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." Once again, this is a parable about the kingdom. That we should use whatever we've been given by God and the resources that we have been given, we should be using them for productive service in the kingdom. That's the ultimate truth in this. We take what God has given us. If we take what God has given us and just bury it, he's not going to be happy with us. He's not going to be happy with our service to the kingdom if we bury the talents, the gifts, the resources that he has given us. So in the same way we did with the first parable, let's back up from this one a little bit. There is a deep, profound truth. Let's look at the simple face value part of the story. If we take what God has given us simply on a financial side of things and we invest it, that's going to make him happy. If we bury it, it's going to upset him. This is day-to-day practical advice on how to handle our money. Here's the simple truth of this story. Let's go and write this down. Many of you know this truth. Many of you are practicing this truth. And that is to use the money given to you to make more money. It's a great financial principle taught by this parable that has a deeper, more profound meaning that affects our spiritual lives, but the simple surface value of this parable affects our day-to-day lives and our money management, and it's great advice. Use the money that's given to you to make more money. Also included in this parable, we see this will involve risks. The two that doubled their money, they risked it. They had to put it out there. They had to lay it out there. The one that played it safe, he was dealing with security, no risk, no return. So the reflection on this one, how valuable is the worth of investing the owner's money? And I think there was an extra word in your bulletins there. Investing in the owner's money. You can go on and mark that word in out. That sounds kind of funny. Mark the word in out. How valuable was the worth of investing the owner's money? Think about that. How valuable was that? Think about how valuable that can be in your life. Story number three. It's not quite your typical parable. The story of the sheep and goats is its own genre. It's not really a parable. It's not even an illustration. It's more, this is the way it really is, but using an illustration to show it a little bit, the sheep and the goats. There's a great truth about generosity and investing in this story. The sheep and the goats, generously investing in others. The setting of this story is in heaven, where God is separating his people like a shepherd would the sheep from the goats. He separates them based on how they treated the down and out here on earth. And he states this by putting those on his right and those on his left. And he tells the ones on his right that when he was hungry, they gave him food. When he was thirsty, they gave him water. That they invited him in when he was a stranger. That they gave him clothes when he was in need of clothing. That they helped him when he was sick. That they visited him when he was in prison. He told the goats on his left that they did not do these things. Now both groups, they were confused when they heard these words, because both of them said, you know, the ones on his right, when did we do these things to you? The ones on the left, they're saying, when did we not do these things to you? And Jesus' reply to the ones on his right, he says, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And he turns to the ones on his left after he describes the situation there. He says, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Therefore, they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So this story clearly tells us how important the attitude of generosity is to God. It has eternal consequences, our generosity. Let's write this down. God sees and rewards the generosity that you show to others. God sees and rewards the generosity that you show to others. Hebrews tells us that some have entertained angels and not even known it. He sees and rewards the generosity that you show to others. So reflection on that. How valuable are the resources used to minister to those in need? How valuable are those resources? Think about how valuable it is to them, to the people who receive it. We just did our Christmas Care and Share. We blessed a handful of families, a number of people, a ton of kids. Where's was it 150 kids? Let me use that as an illustration. Let's walk through some of this reflection process on this one. How valuable was it to them? How valuable was it? Think about how valuable those Christmas presents were when they were opened Christmas morning. For some of those families, that meant the difference between having Christmas presents on Christmas morning and having no Christmas presents on Christmas morning. You made that difference in their life. Think about the food baskets that you gave. Those food baskets, those who received them this past Christmas, you might have made the difference for them. The difference between a stomach growling on Christmas morning or having a cupboard with some of them a full cupboard, depending on how big their cupboard was, but I know we gave them a lot of bags of groceries, a lot of food. You made a difference. How valuable were those dollars to those families? How valuable was that to them? You see how that adds value to the dollar? How generosity and investing in others in a generous way. How valuable was that to you? How valuable was that? I had to stop myself from spending when I was buying for my kids. Not my kids, the kids from the angel tree. I wanted to do so much for them. And I loved it. I wanted to be a fly on the wall when they opened up their gifts. Every one of them, when I was getting them, I was like, oh, they're going to love this. Oh, they're going to, I want to see them. I want to see what they do with this. I want to see their face when they open this up. You know, how valuable was that to me? How valuable were each of those dollars that I spent on those gifts? How valuable was that to you? See how generously investing in others, it increases the value of the dollar. The dollar is still the same, but it increases the value when we're investing in others. And as we reflect on that, I want us to think heavenly. How valuable was that to God as we reflect on the sheep and the goats? How valuable were those dollars to God? How did He view your blessings and the money that we spent on those families? As we turn the page into chapter 26, we see another story, a massively generous story about the alabaster jar of perfume. This one I'm going to read to you. It's fairly short, starting in verse 6 of 26, it says, while Jesus was in Bethany at the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head while he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Just a couple quick notes on this story. You can never be too generous to Jesus. Write that down. You can never be too generous to Jesus. This woman was massively generous. She didn't even know what she was doing. Jesus points out the significance. She's preparing me for burial. She was just there giving. She was just there being generous. We can write this down also, because this is an unfortunate truth, that some, even other believers, will view your generosity to Jesus as a waste of money. Expect it. Some, even other believers, will view your generosity to Jesus as a waste of money. Expect it. It's unfortunate that we have to expect it, but it's true. Don't get caught off guard by that. So the reflection on this, how valuable was this generosity to Jesus? How valuable was this? Well, it was so valuable that the following verse, in verse 13, Jesus says something that I think is extremely profound. And I told you guys we're keeping it surface, but we'll dip down for a second. He says, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Jesus says, wherever this gospel, the gospel of Jesus dying on the cross, being dead for 3 days and God raising him, that story of amazing magnitude, Jesus is saying on the same level of that story, I want this story of this woman to be shared also. Wherever this story is shared, I want this story with it. Why? Because it was massively generous. We're going to make a connection in just a moment to the cross. We have a pit stop on the way there. This was a big deal to Jesus. Her massively generous act. Take note of that. File that in. So as working through these, skipping these rocks across, we're going to diverge for a moment. We're going to look at the opposite in the next story in chapter 26. As we look at Judas Iscariot, we come across the anti-generous attitude of greed. Judas, greed and generosity are opposites. We're told in verse 14, then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to, what are those next two words? What are you willing to? Give me. Those are the words of greed. We hear those a lot of times in our conscious mind. We don't always speak them out loud, but we think them. Give me. What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. If this is reported chronologically in Matthew, it sure didn't take him long to find an opportunity, did it? What are you willing to give me? We're told in John's gospel that Judas was a thief. We're told he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. So this just wasn't something that was a one-time deal. We see this was part of his personality. Maybe one of the sins that Judas struggled with. Maybe he didn't struggle with it. Let's write this down for our own sake this morning. Greed takes up space in my heart that generosity could be possessing. Greed takes up space in my heart that generosity could be possessing. Turn to your neighbor. I want you to take turns. Pick a neighbor, turn to him. Pick out which neighbor's going to go first, and I want you to read this statement to him. Go on and do that right now. All right, everybody, just go on and do it together at one time. That way everybody's all nervous. Who wants to speak first? Pick a neighbor, and there you go. Speak that to them. Speak it out loud. You got to speak your goals. That's one of the things that really helps. And then switch off and let the other neighbor do it to you. Spiritual exercise for you guys. Greed takes up space in my heart that generosity could be possessing. There's a ton of truth in that, and we need to take that home with us today. our reflection. Let's reflect on this. How valuable, what was the final value of Judas's 30 coins? Judas's 30 pieces of silver, what was the value of that? It was Judas's life. Judas committed suicide. He killed himself. He hung himself over the guilt. How valuable were those 30 coins? We're talking about the value of the dollar, how that's increased. It's increased in a negative way when it comes to greed. Greed increases that in a negative way in our life. The value of those 30 coins was great. He didn't even keep them. Greed increases the value of the dollar in a very unhealthy way. As we continue to reflect on that, how much negative value is greed bringing into my life? How much negative value is greed bringing into my life? Think about that. Has greed kept you from building margin in your life? Has greed kept you from investing in the kingdom? Has greed kept you from investing in others? Has greed kept you from helping others out, from feeding the hungry, from giving water to the thirsty, from clothing those who need clothes? Has greed kept you from that? Has greed caused you to judge someone else's act of generosity in a negative way? Greed is so very powerful. So what is going to occupy your heart? It's your choice. Greed or generosity? Because as we finish chapter 6, and the whole chapter 27 is about Jesus, the ultimate act of generosity. In chapter 26, we see Jesus in the garden agonizing over the events that are on their way. Events that were the direct result of his decision to be both obedient to God and to be generous to us. Let's write this down, because this is such a huge truth that we see in the garden and we see it every day in our lives, that generosity is not easy. It comes at a cost. Generosity always comes at a cost. Sometimes a very painful cost. Jesus agonized over the cost of his generosity in the garden. How valuable to mankind was Jesus' act of generosity on the cross? How valuable was that? We've been talking about value today. There's no act in history more valuable to mankind than Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. How valuable is that to me? Think about how this affects you. Think about the value of Jesus' generosity, Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus acted with obedience to God and generosity to mankind. God honored Jesus' obedience. He honored his generosity through the resurrection. God also honors our obedience and generosity. Let's write that down. God honors our obedience and generosity. You can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. Jesus gave his life. What did God do? God gave it back. What am I willing to give to God? What am I willing to give to God? This month we're talking about, what does God say to the church about money? And this morning we just skipped rocks across. You might, one and three might have hit you, or you might have had two. No, the second point really got you, and then in number four you thought, you know what, I've got a son or a daughter that could really hear this biblical truth, and now you've got something to share and a way to share it with them. Or maybe all six of them hit you in a brand new way, or all six of them were great reminders to you. Whatever way today has hit, I want it today to be something where every one of us reminded of the value of the dollar and how that's increased through investing and generosity. Last week we talked about how priorities define our money management, that our priorities dictate how we're going to manage our money, and our priorities are based on a core value system. Today we talked about how generosity and investments add value to the dollar. During this next week, what I want you to do is I want you to take the bulletin and each of those little reflection parts in there, This is going to be your homework for this week. Take those and reflect on those. And this should be a pretty easy way to go about it. You can read that section. You can read it in the morning, whatever section you choose to reflect on that day. Say you want to reflect on the massively generous story of the alabaster jar. You read those little, 12 verses or whatever it was, 13 verses if you want the bonus verse in there. Read those 13 verses in the morning, and then on your drive to work, you reflect on that. You think about that. You think about her generosity. You think about what that meant to Jesus and where her heart was at and what other people, how other people might view your generosity. And I want you to think about that and reflect on that. Or maybe you're not a morning person. So maybe after you get off work, maybe you read the story of the parable of the sheep and the goats or the parable of the 10 virgins, and you read it before you leave work, sitting there in the parking lot of your workplace, and you pull it up on your phone or you take your Bible with you in your car and you just read that one little story, and then on your drive home, you're reflecting on that and you're thinking about that. How does this affect me? How can I put this into practice? What does this mean to me? In addition to that, there are some scriptures at the very bottom of your bulletin. Those are scriptures to get ready for next week. So next Saturday or through the week, however you want to organize your time, however you want to prioritize and schedule, go on and take some time and read those passages to prepare for next week. I want us to chew on this subject. I want us to really, really digest it before the 26th, before the last Sunday in this series, before we make new commitments. I don't want us to come into that Sunday with hearts that have not been dwelling on God's word about this subject, because it's an important subject. What does God say to the church about money? Investments in generosity add value to the dollar.